welcome to an open phone day today on the talk show. All I can say is, boy, it was certainly nice to see some sunshine, a little warmer temperatures on Saturday. And yesterday, beautiful day, got a lot of stuff done outside and inside. And it was one of those, you know, it's like lifting yourself out of this this gloom. And it was a gloomy week. It was just really the gloomiest, darkest, dreariest. We didn't get a lot of rain until the end. It rained like crazy Friday night into Saturday, but boy, was it gloomy. I don't think I can remember a gloomier week all the way through. Can you?
We have a gloomy week every year, Steve.
I suppose.
It's not historically gloomy.
All right. I think it's because of the contrast, because we had gone so long.
It was. It felt like it lasted forever.
I know. Anyway, it is. We should have a great week for there's a civic music concert tomorrow outside down at the riverfront. Heritage Days coming up on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They couldn't ask for a better weather forecast for that. Last week would not have been a good week for having an outdoor concert festival, would it?
Yeah. It's no matter how socially distant you are, you're still going to get wet.
Anyway, it is an open phone day today. Let's see. What's going on in the news right now? Well, it appears to be that as long as the Republicans tried to pass a very, very, very scaled back coronavirus stimulus package last week. Nancy Pelosi says that conventional wisdom says nothing's going to happen until after the election. Nobody wants, I think the Democrats, to tell you the truth, and I'm just saying my own guess is that Nancy Pelosi is thinking, you know what, if he sends out those checks and what was on every check? Even if you didn't get a check, you got a personal note from Donald Trump saying, you know, I've just sent you a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the terrible part of this, that politics is coming between people getting what they actually need. You know, the Democrats don't want to do something nice for the people, because they don't want to give Donald Trump any headway in the campaign, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be looking at the campaign first. They should be looking at the people first.
And they won't work together. And because they won't work together, they're just going to take their toys and go each way. And shows you the pathetic situation that we have in Washington, D.C. Pathetic is probably the only word I can come up with. I'm sure I could. Well, actually, I could come up with a whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, let's see. Over the weekend, Big Ten chancellors, they met. They have not apparently they broke up their meeting without making any decision.
No vote and no plans to reconvene.
And so I don't know what that means, whether they're going to actually come out with something or get back together or wait for more information. But it's sort of like, you know, the worst thing you can do is do. It's sort of like this stimulus thing. You know, if you either do or do not. Don't sit on your hands.
Don't kick the can.
And kick the can down the road, because we've been doing that for the last 6 months.
Well, I feel like they missed their chance if they want to do it this year. You know, if they want to try to throw some football together at the end of the year to try to, you know, do some exhibition bowl game, that might be the only chance. But, I mean, the season's underway. I don't know how you're going to get a bunch of other schools to schedule to play you if they're
No, they're going to be. It'll be all Big Ten schools.
Well, I get that.
I know, but I know what you mean.
You think there's not going to be any sort of conflict between any of that, and that all these Big Ten schools are going to abide by what everyone wants to do. I don't think it's going to happen.
You know? Actually, they are going to, or they're going to lose all of their Big Ten revenue.
Well, no. I mean, right now, that's just what people say. That's just what people say, and we're talking about a meeting that they did nothing. So, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it, is what I'm trying to say.
I know.
Do you think they're really going to withhold all that money from the college because they made the decision to keep their kids safe?
I don't know. I don't think nobody's going to be doing that. But the fact is, football generates. Now, nobody can be generating that kind of money The biggest money that they get is from TV, obviously. I saw the Iowa State game, or the I saw the Iowa State Louisiana game on Saturday. We had that on the radio, and it was like, okay. And Iowa State just seemed off, and Louisiana sort of got hot and got better as the day went along. But they had the band. The interesting thing was that there were people in the stands. They had a 120-member band, and they spread them out over the entire length of the one side of the stadium. Nobody closer than 6 feet apart, and they had special covers on their instruments so that they would not spread any coronavirus. One thing I have not noticed is that the games, we thought the high school games would be lasting forever. Haven't seen a lot of problems with high school games. The whole idea of sanitizing the football and bringing a new football in for every fourth down, apparently it works out pretty well. And actually, the sanitation break or whatever they call it, it's just basically it's a timeout. And I guess a timeout is something they'd have anyhow. So, I mean, if you're going to have a timeout, you probably figure, I got a sanitation break coming up in 2 minutes, so why not? We'll use that as our timeout. So it didn't seem to change the length of the game that much. But anyway, and Burlington is struggling. I guess that'd be the best way to put it.
No.
Yeah. And West Burlington, they've been playing. They had a heartbreaking loss. They lost by had a chance to win the game. They tied the game, and then their overtime, they had a two-point conversion. Less than a foot, just a few inches apart from the goal line to win the game. But didn't happen, so, didn't happen. But anyway, we're talking about anything and everything today. I think the whole idea of kicking the can down the road, it seems like that's all we have been doing, is kicking the can. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, nobody wants to make a solid decision about anything, because anyone that makes a solid decision then gets that torn apart by people that don't agree with that decision. And it's pretty much 50-50 split down the middle right now as to who's going to be mad at something. So no matter what decision you make, somebody's going to be mad. So let's not make a decision and just leave everyone to be mad at each other instead at whoever it is that's supposed to make that decision.
Okay.
That's what it seems to be.
All right, here's my – I'm going to make a rash prediction here. There will be no trick or treating this year.
I think that's a very safe assumption to make.
There will be no alternative to trick-or-treating at the Memorial Auditorium. There will be no alternative to trick-or-treating.
How do you stop trick-or-treating? You can't stop that.
How do you stop it?
Yeah.
Oh, you stop it by simply, you just simply say, we're not having it. And people, okay, I guess people can... my guess is that they'll come out and they'll make a statement on a thing. That's my guess. And they'll say there is no official trick-or-treating. I guess unofficial trick-or-treating, if you go to
What is official trick-or-treating?
Official trick-or-treating is what they have. Burlington, West Burlington, and a bunch of other places, they have designated times for trick-or-treating, 5:30 to 7:30. They've always said the auditorium 6 to 8. They've always said 5:30 to 7:30 out of Westland Mall.
Yeah, but those are all independently done. The mall does that independently. Yeah. The auditorium does that independently.
Right.
And those hours are literally just a recommendation by the city. The city has no regulatory authority. They don't have any. They can't tell anyone to not send their kid trick-or-treating.
No, but I'm going to guess that what you're going to see is a general. I'm going to say that if are we going to be will we have trick-or-treating at our house? No.
Why not?
We're not going to trick-or-treat because I'm not going to be opening up the door. I'm not going to be opening up the door to people. It's going to come right when I'm going to be getting ready for bed.
Oh, okay.
That's part of it. And the other part is that I think that there will be some concern. You aren't going to have, the social distancing. One, we're reaching in, kids reaching in to get trick-or-treats or handing out trick-or-treating. There's going to be fear and concern that's going to go along.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear, but I think that's it, because you're talking about the one day a year where everyone has a mask on.
But not a mask that's a mask.
Yeah, but we also know, this fear that kids touching a bowl full of candy is going to somehow spread coronavirus to everyone. We know that contact surfaces is not how this thing is spread.
It's not the contact. It's the fact that they've got to come to the door and they're going to be a lot closer than you and I are.
Yeah, well, I mean, I
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if somebody wants to put a bowl of candy out for the kids, I don't see that as a problem.
I don't see that as
some sort of super spreading opportunity, for this coronavirus.
If somebody puts a bowl of candy out and says, kids, come and get it, I know exactly what will happen. You put a bowl of candy out,
somebody's
going to take that bowl, put it all in their sack, and go.
Yeah, well, that's different. That's the grapes are sour now. We're looking at this, it won't work because kids will steal it all. We've taken coronavirus out of the equation.
Is there anyone that thinks that there will be official? Unofficial
doesn't
stop.
Mean anything. Whether I think the city's going to give a time frame for the kids? Probably not. They're probably going to say, as a city, we don't recommend, but we can't stop you. But I mean, if they were responsible, they would give some sort of guideline to the community and say, for you parents that are absolutely going to, make sure you do, get your kids in before dark. Look out for these things. I think they need to give those guidelines either way, just for the safety of the people that are going to be out there.
I think you're right. I think they will be giving guidelines. I think, I think the general consensus that I have heard is that trick or treating will not, or they'll say they will be discouraging trick or treating, and obviously, trick or treating can go in. Family members. I can see. Basically, mom and dad can go buy a bunch of candy and then have their kids dress up and they can give the kids the candy and let them get sick to the stomach just as if they were going to go to the auditorium and all the other places,
Yeah, but when you look, I don't see this as, going to school is definitely far more dangerous than sending kids trick-or-treating, and nobody seems to have a problem with that. So I don't understand this fear of trick-or-treating.
I'm just saying.
These kids are outdoors. They're in a group of kids they're already exposed to most of the time. It's usually their brothers and sisters or the neighborhood kids they already play with. Right? Who is getting exposed? I'm still wondering.
I'm doubtful that the city will be coming out and saying that we will have a trick-or-treat night. I'm guessing that they will have a guideline saying there will be no official trick-or-treating from the city of Burlington. That's what I'm expecting. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, believe it or not. Yes. All right.
I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50. I think the city...
Do you ever get trick-or-treaters out at your house?
Oh, not at mine. No, there's not even a sidewalk.
What I mean.
So, if these kids walk half a mile of gravel, they deserve it.
What I'm saying is, for you, it doesn't make any difference.
No, I lived in town for years. I gave out candy to kids. That doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion on whether it's safe or not for a child to get some candy.
I don't know what is safe or isn't safe anymore. Well, I really don't.
Nobody does.
What you need to stop doing is just listening to blindly to what the city or the state tells you. You need to use your own logic. We know, you and I both know, that wiping down a football is not going to help anybody.
I know.
So pretending like any of the things that they've said hold any sort of water whatsoever. It's ridiculous. So we need to look at every single one of these things that they tell us and run it through a filter of, does this make any sort of sense?
The problem is nobody really knows. That's the bottom line.
That's what they want to tell you. They want you to stay in that mind state, Steve. They want you to think, if nobody knows, then nobody knows what to do. I better just sit here wait until somebody knows. What they want. They want people to be complacent about the whole thing.
The wiping down the football is just a. I'm guessing a symbolic act.
It's a virtue signal.
Yeah,
what it is. It's to show, hey, look, we care so much. We keep this ball clean.
We're going
to
stop it every 2 minutes or every 4 minutes because we want to make sure that you are. Everybody safe in here.
It's so insulting. Maybe that's why I get so fired up when I hear about it. It's so insulting to me that you think that it's clean now. It's like you see somebody drop a fork on the floor and they pick it up and blow it off and hand it to you. Like, hey, I know that didn't clean it.
So how did there were 17,000 fans in Arrowhead Stadium for Thursday night's game?
Yep.
No other stadium had any fans in it yesterday. So why? How did they get by? Why was there 17,000 fans available, able to go to the game on Thursday, but nobody was able to go to games yesterday?
Well, that's because that's what the state of Missouri allowed.
Yeah, it all depends on where.
And the stadium owners and the team decided we're going
to
have
it. It just seems strange to me that nobody else.
Well, Arrowhead Stadium seats how many people?
Well, in the
about
NFL,
80,000.
They also have to guinea pig somebody. Somebody has to be the first. And so if they show that Arrowhead had 17,000 people and everything was okay, you know, 2 weeks from now they'll be like, hey, guess what? 17,000 people were okay. You guys can all have 17,000 people.
Yep.
And if that number gets bigger, we'll let you know.
And
like, that's how I see it.
And your tickets or your Bears tickets are only going to cost you $650 a piece if you're lucky enough to get one.
That's what it'll cost you in a normal year.
Is it really?
They're expensive.
Yeah. It costs you that much in whiskey to be a Bears fan, I feel like.
Okay.
Believe me, I know.
All right. So your tickets are going to be $1,000.
Yeah. I mean, they might be expensive. Yeah.
Oh, might. Well. They might.
Yeah. Might.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more of the talk show. But right now, we've got this.
COACH. Five letters synonymous with leadership and encouragement. But even more about your success in life. Hear from the coach right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. It's the Cyclones Coach's Corner with head coach Matt Campbell this Monday night at 6:30 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
At Standard Beaverdale, our staff is divided. Some of us are excited for fall, while others still want to cling to summer. As always, we aim to please everyone. If fall is your favorite, come out and find all sorts of fall goodies. If you love the beautiful leaves changing color and slowly drifting down to the ground, get ready to clean them all up with rakes or leaf blowers and paper yard waste bags. Prep your lawn for the season with a new spreader and turf winterizer. Does the sound of a crackling fire on a crisp fall evening under the stars warm your soul? Come out and see our fire pits. We also have some cute fall decor, and we're breaking out our Halloween decorations and greeting cards. You still want to hold on to summer? Come out to Standard and see the great deals we have on coolers, grills, pots for plants, indoor and outdoor pesticides, and much more. Whatever season may be your favorite, we hope to add to its wonder here at Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Got grays? Then you've got to get your hands on the number one root concealer in the world from L'Oreal. Magic Root Cover-Up Spray. In just 3, 2, 1, you're done. Sprays on easily, dries in a flash, washes out in one shampoo. Works on every hair color and every hair texture. Magic Root Cover-Up Spray. With 8 beautiful shades that blend right in, you'll see why it's number one. Magic Root Cover-Up Spray by L'Oreal Paris. Look for the turquoise can at your local retailer.
This year, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is everywhere. Every sidewalk, track, and trail. All of us are raising funds for one goal, a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. Because this disease isn't waiting, neither are you. Take the first step and register for the Burlington Walk on October 10th by visiting act.alz.org/Burlington Walk.
A little bit of the China Grove from, before Michael McDonald took over the Doobie Brothers and turned them into a soft rock group. I think it was, matter of taste and matter of preference, but that's another story. I'm not going to go there, not going to do anything about it. I don't know. You guys probably have your own opinions on what...
You're saying they sold out, man.
Well, everything got soft as it approached the 80s.
I know.
I mean, Kiss took their makeup off and sang a bunch of ballads.
Yeah.
You know,
Actually, it
was strange times.
There were not that many ballads on 80s Kiss albums.
And 93.5 was playing Air Supply.
Yeah.
Makeupless Kiss had some of the heaviest songs in Kiss's history.
Okay, never mind. We aren't going to go with it.
We can argue about whether Kiss was better with or without makeup.
There's no question. But.
Anyway, it is a Monday. We're talking about anything and everything. I think the fact is, let's see, we had Donald Trump yesterday did a rally. Where was that? Was in
Nevada.
In Las Vegas, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was in Las Vegas specifically.
But it was in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Governor of Nevada says...
And he called it a peaceful protest.
He said you can't have, the governor said, you can't be inside because that would be, you know, violating social distancing. He said, "The heck with you! We're going to be inside, and we're going to have a rally, and we're going to do the same things we've done before to make America great again." And but I think what you just Mikey J just summed it up a couple of minutes ago, and he said, "You know what? The thing is, we are being told how many different messages are you getting, or are we getting all the time? It seems like we're being told." It's like the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing, and nobody seems to have the expertise seems to be, I don't care whether you call yourself an expert or whatever you are, nobody seems to have a handle on it. Even Dr. Fauci keeps on vibrating back and forth.
Yeah, it seems like the issue is a lot of inconsistency of information.
We don't know.
Well, here's the problem, is everyone wants to know the latest information right now. Our news cycle is all about, give me the information that just came out, and I'm going to report it. Well, the problem with that is when you're dealing with something that you're constantly building data, all right, the conclusion is going to change several times depending on what the data looks like, which way it skews. And if you're telling people the exact data the minute you haven't looked at the entire field of data to get a good determination. What's happening is they're forcing these experts to go on TV every day and answer questions about every article and everything that's happened around the world about the coronavirus. And when information changes, everyone gets mad at that expert like he's flipping on what he said. No, he's only giving you the best approximation of what's going on based on the information he's gotten up to that point. And if the information points in a different direction, he is going to change his direction. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, they're going to say different things as the data changes. And so to say that, you know, nobody in the world knows exactly what's going on. And so to ask one guy his opinion and then hold that against him for everything that's happening is completely unfair.
Well, it's not so much that. It's the fact that what happens is we seem to have – what is conventional wisdom is changing every day.
Yeah. They shouldn't have been giving daily updates on this thing. They should have once a week – give a statement on it
now,
and let it be.
Now the California and Oregon wildfires and the West wildfires, it's probably a good idea to give information on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know where the fires are.
Yeah, to make sure you're not watching Wheel of Fortune and the fire burns your house down. You know, it's a dire situation there.
Have you seen the sky? Have you seen the sky over San Francisco?
Yeah, the red sky. Yeah, it's pretty wild. The pictures, it looks post-apocalyptic.
What did they say? Somebody said, it looks more orange than Donald Trump's hair.
But I said it was oranger than his face.
More orange than his face. That's right. Excuse me. I got the wrong part of the face.
But you see how he does it nowadays. He's not even trying anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's a myriad of factors that make those fires some of the most dangerous in this country.
It is amazing to me. Now, one of the things, now the Des Moines School District is still fighting the governor so that they can have, no in-class
not just fighting, they're suing the state.
I know, they're suing the state. And the governor says you're the only district that's out there. So
that's still fighting.
So if you want to continue to fight, go ahead and fight. And
just basically saying shut up and get in line.
Pretty much. So exactly. Yeah. Get in line and stop whining. We really haven't seen much in terms of any return to classes. There have been very few.
There have been sporadic cases here and there.
A few positive cases here and there.
It's been nothing. I'd say it's been manageable for the most part, and they've been doing it fairly well.
I think, as far as we can tell, it seems the biggest problem we have right now, or the surge in the cases, Sturgis obviously was a surge, colleges going back, when colleges got back together, fraternity row.
Rules went out the window.
The fraternity rows became basically fraternity COVID festering places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the gathering point, the giant parties, the big party gathering, because that's always what happens when you back to school parties. That's sort of like that's a tradition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, okay. It may be a tradition, but it's not a tradition that you can probably safely have this year.
Yeah, but what do you expect to have? I put the blame for all of that straight on the college. If you wanted to keep these kids safe, you shouldn't have brought them back to college that way. You know, or you should have put some sort of precautions into place. They didn't. They just brought them back to college and said, hey, welcome to college. Be sure you don't do any of those things that you've been waiting years and years and years to do at college, but you still pay us the same amount of money.
It was an absolute obvious thing that was going to happen as long as there was no guidelines or anything restricting it, because once you, hey, you had these kids, you remember going back, you had going back after the summer, it's like a reunion there. But most of them were out from St. Patrick's Day or before St. Patrick's Day, all the way until just a couple of weeks ago. And so, what do you expect? I mean, it's like I haven't seen these people at all, and a lot of people haven't seen anybody for so long.
I mean, these are colleges that deal with college kids every single year. They know what 21-year-olds are going to do when you gather them all together. They can't even control what the NBA players are doing in the bubble. And these are men that make millions of dollars. They can't keep them from sneaking people in. There was a story this past week that a bunch of NBA players are in trouble because they were sneaking in their girlfriends.
Yes,
they disguised themselves as coronavirus testers to get into the bubble.
They're getting creative.
Human nature is still human nature, no matter what is going to be going on with any virus or not.
You set rules. People are just going to find ways to break them.
That is exactly right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after the news.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Burlington police on Saturday night found several shell casings when responding to a report of shots fired in the 800 block of South 8th Street. Sergeant Chad Zahn told the Burlington Beacon that the call came in around 10 p.m. and no suspects or victims had been found at the scene. Anyone with information on this incident is urged to contact the Burlington Police Department. An Eastern Iowa police officer has resigned after being charged with distribution, receipt, and assessing of child pornography. TV station KCRG reports that 34-year-old Jared Daly resigned Friday from the Belle Plaine Police Department. His federal indictment was unsealed on September 3rd. It alleges that Daly knowingly distributed, received, and accessed child pornography on a cell phone between January and June of this year. If convicted, Daly faces a mandatory 5-year prison sentence and up to 60 years. He could also be ordered to pay nearly $1 million in fines and special assessments. Daly's trial is set for November 2nd. A former Quincy store manager accused of stealing more than $500,000 from a Menards store has pled guilty to a lesser charge. The Herald Whig reports that Michelle Lewis pled guilty Friday to one count of theft of over $10,000 in Adams County, Illinois. Prosecutors say the 36-year-old woman was printing old receipts with items bought with cash or check and would enter returns and take the cash between. A sentencing date has not been set. Lewis has been free after posting $1,000 bond.
A man has been arrested in the death of his wife, whose body was found in a wooded area outside the couple's Des Moines home. 32-year-old Datron Simmons was charged Friday with first-degree murder in the death of 50-year-old Connie Simmons of Des Moines. Police Sergeant Paul Parizic wrote in a news release that the evidence indicates that Datron Simmons killed his wife on September 6th at their home. The release said she had existing health issues and the police went to the home Friday to check on her at the request of her family. Her body was located a short time after a missing person report was completed. This investigation is ongoing. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. President Trump defies coronavirus restrictions in Nevada, holding his first indoor rally since one in Oklahoma in June.
Democratic Governor Steve Sisolak said the president doesn't believe the rules apply to him. The city of Henderson has threatened to levy fines. President Trump telling supporters,
if the governor comes after you, which he shouldn't be doing, I'll be with you all the way.
In a statement, the Biden team said the president doesn't care about protecting his supporters from coronavirus.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. There's a manhunt and a reward offered for the shooter of two sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles, ambushing them in their parked patrol car Saturday. They're expected to survive the shootings condemned by the president and Joe Biden.
The former vice president calling it unconscionable, while President Trump says that the gunman is an animal who must be hit hard.
Fox's Kristen Fisher. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carryout and curbside pickup options, available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, to keep you warm and happy during the days in. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Going to be mostly sunny skies with a high this afternoon, 79 degrees. East winds around 5. Tonight mostly clear, low down to 55. And then for Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies, high up to 81. Mostly clear Tuesday night, a low down to 56. And then Wednesday, we'll see a sunny 83, sunny Thursday, 75, sunny Friday, 69. Right now, still hazy sunshine, 63 degrees.
I'm Jessica Edinger, CNBC. Stocks are popping into the green on Wall Street at the open this morning. Oracle shares are soaring on word last night that Chinese-owned ByteDance will sell its TikTok operations to Oracle, but China state media are reporting right now that there is no real sale. It may be a partnership. Oil producers pulling staff from a number of rigs in the Gulf as Tropical Storm Sally strengthens and aims for New Orleans. Amazon says it'll hire 100,000 new full and part-time workers with a $15 an hour minimum wage. CenturyLink says it's changing its name and will rebrand to Lumen Technologies. Apple is getting ready for a new product event tomorrow. It will be virtual. Reports say there won't be any new iPhones introduced yet, just possibly a new iPad and maybe a new Apple Watch. New iPhones may be introduced next month. Jessica Edinger, CNBC.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has extended their special offer, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it. Simply apply by September 30th, and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And, of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Welcome back on the talk show today. It's an open phone day today, and what we're finding out is that the more we know, the less we know, because we really don't know much of anything.
The more we think we know, the less we actually know.
And as far as definitive on coronavirus, we've been living in this doggone thing for 6 months now.
You would think we'd have something definitive by now.
And when we first shut down, did you think by September we should be out of this sucker, shouldn't we?
Yeah. I didn't think we'd still be dealing with it at this point. I thought, you know, by midsummer it would have gone away and
it would have faded away, and things would have been returning to normal.
It would have become more manageable.
And manageable, and we would have had. Now, they do have better treatments now. They do have better knowledge of it. They are finding out more disturbing things, though, and that is residual things that even with a relatively mild case of coronavirus affecting the heart and the lungs, that's a concern right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, those after symptoms are uncommon. It's not something that's happening to the normal person that's getting it, you know. And so I think you could say that about a lot of other diseases.
We don't know how many people really, because sometimes it doesn't show. I mean, if you don't, you don't know. I think
it is scary though to think that you could potentially have problems that stem from this for years to come.
And they may linger and may never. Well, they say they eventually, hopefully, they'll go away. But you know, the fact is. This thing is like, it's not like having the normal flu. And I mean, it's the flu. The flu, you have it and you're over, you know? This stuff, you have it and you're not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can get bad. It can go from just a mild case to a severe case in just a matter of hours, you know? That's why it's so, it's such a wild disease. And we're having such a hard time researching it because, you know, in some people, you know, they get it, they seem absolutely fine. And other people, they test positive. They have a few little symptoms, and then all of a sudden they can't hardly breathe.
The biggest problem is that the testing is still all over the road. It's still all over the road, and
I think that's just because in terms of testing manufacturers, we've got way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Well, that could be part of whatever the fact is. We've got people that are being that are being told that they were negative, that are really positive, and vice versa. And let's face it, with this thing, you better be right, you know? I mean, this thing's got to be, it better be accurate. And what we need is an accurate, quick, accurate test. You have that, then that changes a bunch. Vaccine, that changes it even more. Finding a way to prevent the doggone thing is going to be crucial this year. They're saying that the flu season coming up, you know, the flu and the coronavirus going on at the same time.
They're looking for a test for both of them.
Not a good thing to be dealing with. And it's like, I think.
And they're asking people to go out and get their flu shot to make sure you don't get a 1-2 punch of these two things.
Well, I know, but I guess the question is, okay, I know that, I mean, the fact is there's another thing. We don't know that for sure, and we don't know how effective, and we don't even know what the flu, this flu shot will be protecting you from. You know, it's like what they need is a single shot that'll have both of them in it. And anyway, 754-1490. All right, good morning. Who do we have with us today?
This is Dean. Some good news that came out that I know the two channels you like is CBN and Fox. Basically, that we're withdrawing more of our troops out of Afghanistan, out of Iraq, which is a good thing. We don't need to be there any longer. I mean, if those people want to act like they want to live in the 8th century and act like savages, well, so be it. I mean, they don't want a democracy. That's the way it is, and
they never had one, so it doesn't matter. Yeah,
we should have went into Saudi Arabia, but if we did, we really would have had a holy war. But that's the good news. Now about the schools, I mean, I don't have any kids, I'm not married, but last year you had 700 kids, if I'm right, die of the cold and flu, pneumonia and cold and flu. And last year, we did not close down the schools. You had a number of kids die of suicide, and we didn't close down the schools. I mean, basically, that's my opinion, and but people don't want to listen to science. But
I didn't hear any science there, Dean.
Yeah.
At 700 kids, why would they stop school anyway? Like, yeah. All 700 didn't happen in one school district, you know, right?
It's millions.
Millions. There's millions and millions of kids. That's 0.0001% of the amount of kids that are going to school each year, Dean.
Before we had one kid on the state side of this thing, and that was it.
Okay.
I mean, you look at 22 countries, they open their schools, they have safe cards, and they haven't closed down their schools.
Yeah, they also don't have the same amount of numbers that we have of people that are infected.
And they don't have 50 states.
And the reason they're closing the schools isn't to, you know, it's to keep the kids sick, but the kids aren't going to die from this. It's to keep the kids from spreading it to everyone else because all these kids come to a central place every day.
The science that kids are immune from they have it. But they don't give it to older adults and people over 20. I mean, that's
they do. They do spread it to everyone else.
No, that hasn't been
proven. They do spread it to everyone else. That's the problem.
They have potential to.
That's not a scientific fact, Dean. That is just not scientific.
It's harder to detect whether the kids have the coronavirus because they are less likely to show symptoms. And
okay, one more thing.
Okay, all right, go for it.
Sunday, I immediately turned off when they started talking about Black Lives Matter and about they had the second song to replace the national anthem. I got one question, everybody. If this country is so horrible, so racist, so ugly, so mean, why is it that so many people want to come to the United States and leave their countries for a better life or here?
Because their countries are worse.
Every year.
Because their countries are worse, Dean.
So bad. Why do they want to come here?
They want to come here because they can get special benefits, and their countries are worse. That's why. Was that too simple?
There's a lot more opportunity here.
Srinia and everybody else, because everybody else caused this what I just said, and it's all the time on the, most of the channels.
All right. Hey, Dean, we're going to let you go, but thanks for calling in. Okay, 754-1490. We're going to take a break right after this.
Friday night is football night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. This Friday, join Scott Mason and John Flaherty as Burlington hosts Fairfield. Brought to you by Rhinesmith's Flooring America, Bob Dodds Insurance, Kirk Massner Family Dentistry, Pizza Rich, the Danville State Savings Bank, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, and Standard of Beaverdale. BHS Football, 7 p.m. Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
Over the past few months, many of us have found ourselves with a little more time to tackle our to-do list. Maybe you finally got your garage cleaned out or your closets organized. We've all been accomplishing some things we put on the back burner. If pre-planning your funeral remains on that list, Pru Funeral Service is here to help. There are 85 decisions that must be made for every funeral, and all but one, the date, can be determined in advance. Call Pru Funeral Service or stop by our Division Street location for a free guide to help you get started.
It's the hottest day of the year. You're out mowing your yard, sweat running into your eyes, down your back. Time to take a break. You walk into your home, feels cool and fresh. Or does it? Hi, this is Bob Jern from Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning. Now's the time to think air conditioning. If that old unit was acting up last year, let's get a new high-efficiency unit installed. That way, when the temperatures hit 98 degrees, you'll be enjoying the cool comfort of your new Amana air conditioner. Just needing a tune-up? Don't end up waiting your turn for service this summer. Give us a call now. No matter what brand you have, we'll make any adjustments you need to make sure your home stays at the consistent temperature you want. For all your cooling and heating needs, give us a call today. Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer, serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois, with 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
right. Well, we got, the fact is, the myth, and that I think we just had the myth there for a second, is that kids cannot transmit the virus to adults. It's not, I will admit that it's less likely for a child to transmit it to an adult.
But it can still happen.
But anything can still happen. And I think that's the issue is the more we know, I mean, it's not the less we know, but it's just the fact that we're finding out stuff as we go. I will say that if we did know right now what we would have known, or if we couldn't say what we know now, and if we could transplant it back into where we were in March, might be a very different thing. But that's a different story. We really don't know. I think that's. I think we all hunkered down pretty easily, and we've kind of gotten said, okay, we got to really hunker down, but the fact is people are restless, and I think there's a lot of restless and angry people that are out there. I think part of that is why we see some of the activities that are going on and the craziness that's going on that we saw with the Black Lives Matter and with the Portland and with the Seattle.
That's definitely a part of it.
It's part of it, and then we also
it's
have...
It's not the actual cause.
No, and... And we were talking earlier, you and I were talking about the fact that, let's face it, there's not many parents want their child to grow up to be a policeman.
Not right now, no.
No. And we've seen that decrease over the last couple of decades because there has been, particularly over the last 10 years, there's been, again, gradual increase in the war on police. Plus, the quality of the police that you have.
I would push back against this war on police.
Okay, you know, I'm just saying.
I mean, bringing the spotlight to some of the bad things going on in the police community, I guess you could say.
But you have had people that have walked up to cop cars and, no,
there's
literally,
been an interest,
and,
there's
and
been
just
an,
shoot them, just shoot si- people sitting in a cop car.
There's been an increasing distrust of police.
But that happened in Des Moines.
Yeah.
You know, some crazy guy in Des Moines did that, and nobody said it was because of this war on police. It was because he was a crazy guy who did something crazy.
But it's the same thing is happening. The same thing's been happening all over the country, though. That same type of thing has been happening. You make a regular traffic stop and a guy blows a police.
No.
Take a look. It happens.
Do you want me to tell you how many police died from someone just randomly shooting them last year? Because I bet it's under 30.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, it is happening.
But should we retrain all of our police all across the country over 30 instances of people being crazy? Like that? That's ridiculous. And this. It just buys into this whole thing that the police officer needs to be terrified at every single moment of his job. That's why police are shooting people, because they've been conditioned to be terrified that every stop could be some guy with a gun pointing it at his face. That's part of the problem, and we need to stop that. Stop the labeling.
So you're saying
labeling.
It's not? You're saying it's not?
No. There's not a string of police being just shot down and murdered. There might be a slight uptick because of what's going on in the country, but it is not nearly what it's being portrayed, that there is just the all-out war against police officers and hunting them down in
the
streets.
Look, how many police have been shot down? How many police have been shot?
I wouldn't call it an all-out war against police. I would say there is, in some communities, some parts of communities is a growing distrust of police officers.
Policemen shot in their car. I'm just saying, is it?
Between 2015 and 2020, it's 1,000.
Okay.
In 5 years, that's less than 200 a year.
But if we take an average. Okay, but that's still.
It's still a lot. That's one weekend. That's 4th of July weekend in Chicago. Okay, like what are we comparing that to?
What are we comparing that to? I guess it's all a matter of what's relative and whether what's. What do you expect to have happen? Anybody who walks, I don't know how many people walk up to anybody else in a car and just shoot them. I mean, would they do it to
crazy people?
Okay, crazy.
Oh no, I was even wrong. That 1,000 number was how many people police have shot and killed. The actual number for 2020 is 40. 40.
That have been shot and killed.
40 police officers have been shot and killed in the line of duty this year.
How many? What was the number of that last
nationwide?
Year?
Nationwide, right. 40.
What was that last year?
I mean, this is the L.A. police officer shot in ambush. This is the BBC doing research into how many police officers were shot last year. And in the United States this year so far, it's 40.
Well, you know what?
I don't consider that a pandemic or an epidemic of any portion.
Well, I guess it's a matter of relativity and what safety. Hey, it's perception, and perception is reality, whether we admit it or not. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been real. We're going to have another open phone day on Thursday, and have a great start to your Monday. The sun is finally burning through the haze.